So we have Ricky from the Azure Maps team coming to the IT show today to talk to us about data-driven styling for maps. So basically, how can you leverage huge amount of data and optimize the rendering of maps of that data? Hi everyone, this is the IoT show. I'm Olivier, your host. Today with Ricky, we're gonna talk about data-driven styling for maps, right?
All right.
So Ricky, you're a regular. However, some people might not have seen you on the IoT show yet. Do you want to introduce yourself real quick to our audience?
Yeah, so I'm a senior technical program manager on the Azure Maps team. I've been working in the geospatial industry for 12 years in a lot of different ways, but primarily focused on Microsoft's mapping platforms.
Cool. So the feature you want to demo today is something that addresses specific scenarios. We'll talk about that in a second. And the name is a bit long, but it's like well chosen, right? So data-driven styling on maps.
Right.
So everyone knows about maps. They use Google Maps. They use other type Bing Maps and others. And basically, they don't realize the amount of work that goes behind from developers to customize these maps for a specific site, for a specific service or whatnot, right?
Mm-hmm.
So can you tell us a bit about what Azure Maps offer in that area? And,
right.
and we'll talk about scenarios, and then you have tons of demos.
Right. Yeah, so a typical scenario is you have a bunch of data, and you know we have a data point. You know, maybe it's the location of a sensor or a device.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in addition to that location, we also have other metrics, readings from sensor data and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you put it on a map, often you want to do more than just see where it is. You want to actually gain value out of that. And so you want to say, okay, if the sensor reading is, 80 degrees,
mm-hmm.
color that icon red so we know that it's a hot sensor.
Yeah, yeah.
And if it's below 50 degrees, mm-hmm. make it blue. And that's a very typical scenario where based on data mm-hmm. or your data, you want to change the way things are styled.
Yeah, and you don't want to have to write a bunch of code each time you
right.
have something you want to change the styling for, right?
Right, and typically what you would have to do in most platforms is you would take your data, loop over it, and check and run your, write several if statements or switch statements,
yeah, yeah.
whatever, and check each individual shape to see, okay, based on this, apply this business logic. And you go through, and so now you've done that one loop over your data, and then you take all that data and you mm-hmm. pass it to the map, and now the map loops over it a second time to then render it.
Yeah.
And so now you're doing two loops on your data. You've written quite a bit of code because you're doing the business logic.
Yeah. And we're talking about IoT scenarios here
right.
in particular, where you're thinking like millions of devices and data points.
Right.
So when you think about these loops, it's kind of not super efficient, right?
Right. And so with that in mind, so what we've done with data-driven styling is we said, what if we provide an easy way to define your business logic as a property mm-hmm. of a layer, and then when you pass that, connect your data up to the mm-hmm. layer, the only time we loop over the data is that render time once. And so now we're only doing one loop over the data to
yep.
render the data, and we apply the business logic on the fly. As a bonus, all this business logic is being processed
mm-hmm.
on the GPU at render time, because we do all the rendering with WebGL,
yeah.
rather than being on the CPU. So we're able to render significantly more data than we were in the past.
Okay, or on other platforms.
Yeah, or on other platforms.
As a matter of fact.
Yeah. And in addition to doing all significantly more data, in the same tone, it could be smaller data sets, but we can animate very easily.
Awesome.
All right.
So you use people to have very neat demos with mm-hmm. controls and so on for maps. I guess this is no different, right?
Right. I'll start off a really basic sample here.
Okay.
So we'll take a look at what the final product is, but we
uh-huh.
see a map with a couple of circles on it. Not all that interesting on the surface, but if we take a look at the source code here, and we'll open it up in GitHub because we make all these samples open source, we can take a look at what the actual data contains. So inside here, we see some test data, and it has four point locations or point features.
Mm-hmm.
Each one has a set of properties, but they don't all have the same set of properties. So the first one has a radius value and a category value.
Okay.
And the second one has a different radius value and a different category. So
mm-hmm.
Based on that, we might want to style our data differently.
Okay.
But the third one only has a radius value, no category. So what do we do there? And then the last one doesn't have any properties. So what's the default?
Once again, yeah.
And so how do we handle this from styling? So if we go through here, okay, we load our map. Once the map's loaded, you know, we create a data source to put our data in.
Okay.
And then we create a layer. So I'm using the bubble layer in Azure Maps, because that's one of our easiest, one of the least complex styling options we have. So I want to keep this simple so we can understand and follow. So one of the options you can have is color. So we can pass in just a, you know, a any CSS color. We can say, oh, just make it red.
Okay.
And all of the bubbles would be red.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case here, let's take the category property, and based on that, we'll say, okay, if the category is, you know, cat one, make it purple.
Mm-hmm.
If the category is cat two, make it green.
Okay.
And if the no category is specified, fall back to red.
Okay.
And so that's what we see here in the code here. So we have an expression which is doing a match, and it says, okay, get the category property. And then if it has, it goes through and checks to see, okay, is it cat one, cat two, and applies the color. And then if there's no category, it falls to red.
Okay.
Nice, simple business logic, which, you know, really, like, really small technique. You could easily fit that on one line of code nicely, rather than having a whole bunch of if statements or switch statements.
Nice, love it.
Going further, we have the radius. So now we can scale the radius or change the radius on a whole bunch of different metrics. So in this case, we're keeping it simple. We're saying, okay, let's just grab the radius property or the my radius property from the shape if it has it. And if it does, we'll use that. If not, we'll fall back to 10 pixels.
Okay.
And so we say, okay, in so we could case expression, which, you know, so it's, you know, a Boolean expression.
Mm-hmm.
We do a quick check, you know, does it have or has my radius property?
Yeah.
If so, get it. If not, use 10.
Okay.
So that's how that that sample was created. You know, very simple and very easy to understand styling.
Nice. And another aspect to that is that if data changes, which it does,
right?
Especially in anti-scenarios, what needs to happen from the dev perspective and UI perspective for that to be refreshed on the screen here?
So of course I've closed the code samples, but the key thing is, so we have this data source where we put our data in. If you any data that's in there automatically gets reflected into the layer.
Okay.
So if we wanted to go through and say change one of those data points, we just simply change it and
so there's no need for refresh, the data source. Whatever. It's basically data source that pushes the update into the data into the UI basically.
Right. So anytime that data source changes, it notifies the map to do a refresh on the rendering.
Okay.
And so it keeps it nice and simple. So you know, one line of code to make a change.
Yeah. Awesome.
And so, yeah, if you're tying into real-time data, very easy.
Okay.
Now, let's take a look at another slightly more complex. So we're using the bubble layer again because we don't want to...
Because you like that one.
Yeah. like that one.
Who doesn't like bubbles
it's,
anyway?
You know, it's only got a handful of styling options, whereas some of our other layers have like 50 or 60 options, which is overwhelming. So this example here is taking earthquake data from the last 30 days and is showing us the most significant earthquakes. And so this is a live feed that is coming from the USGS. I could easily change this to something that, like, you know, the hourly feed if I wanted to, so that every hour it updates. But what we're seeing here is, you know, based on the magnitude, I want to do three things. I want to assign it a color.
Yeah.
I want to assign it a scale or a radius.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want to put some text on top, which is the magnitude value plus the letter M.
Okay.
And so we can do a whole bunch of custom styling of that using the data-driven styling.
Okay.
So, you know, in this case here, we can kind of see, okay, we're just calling a URL, you know, for the earthquake data.
Okay, so that's GeoJSON.
Yeah, it's GeoJSON data. That's the default data set or data format we support, but we can support others as well. And again, created a data source, and we say, okay, import from URL.
Okay.
And then for styling, okay, so we'll skip opacity because I just put a hard-coded value in for this example. But for color, this time I'm doing a linear interpolation expression.
Okay.
And based on what I'm doing is, okay, we know this data has a mag property, which contains the magnitude information. So what this expression does is it says, okay, if the magnitude is 0, color it green.
Yeah.
If the magnitude is 5, color it yellow. If it's 6, orange. And 7, red.
Okay.
And so if you think about this, so this is going to do a linear interpolation. This is going to create a gradient. Which is quite nice because the magnitude value isn't an integer, it's a float, so there's decimals. And so this here takes care of all that for us. And so instead of having to do a whole bunch of complex things, you know, and, you know, rounding off things, it just works. Nice and simple.
You don't even need to know your code for colors, right? It's like right. Just bright green and yellow. Yeah. We'll figure out what's in between.
Yeah, we can put in hex colors or RGBA if you wanted to.
Nice.
Now, let's take a look at the radius. So this time now, based on the magnitude, mm-hmm. I want to scale it.
Yep.
And so again, I'm using a linear interpolation, and we also have exponential as another option. Mm-hmm. But in this case here, if the magnitude is zero, give it 2 pixels, make it really mm-hmm. small, mm-hmm. Pretty much invisible. If the magnitude is 8, give it 40 pixels. So anything in between is going to be scaled, which is quite nice. I don't have to go through and figure out, how do you do this so it looks consistent.
Nice. Yeah, love it.
Yeah. So now we're going to get a little bit more complex. We have the symbol layer.
Yeah.
In this case here, we're going to use this. So symbol layer allows you to do both an image, mm-hmm. if you want to put images on the map, okay. And text. So in this case here, we don't want the image, we just want the text.
Okay.
And so I set the image property of the icon options to mm-hmm. none. Mm-hmm. But for the text options, what I wanted to do was take that magnitude value and add the letter M to it.
Okay.
And then display that. And mm-hmm. so I have yet another expression, and this type of expression is a string style expression. Mm-hmm. And so I go through and I say, I want to concatenate.
Okay.
And so, but first I got to take that magnitude value.
Turn it to a string.
Yeah, turn it to a string.
Yeah, yeah.
And then concatenate it with the letter M on the end.
Okay.
And so now, I have that business logic defined there, and it's in a format that the GPU can understand.
And just text.
Yeah. And or that our rendering engine can understand. So this gets all processed there rather than on the CPU.
And everything in the line of code. Right. Single line of code for doing all of that.
Right. So great. Now we have that beautiful rendering.
Yep.
Now, going a lot further,
okay,
and getting a lot closer to a typical IoT scenario.
Okay,
every IoT device has two pieces of information always: a timestamp,
okay,
and a location. So let's take this thing further here. So we have a nice simple example here, but with the IoT devices, there's two pieces of information always.
Mm-hmm.
There's a timestamp, and a location. Not every IoT device sends a location information, but you know where you put that device.
You'd better know where it is, definitely. Yeah. You don't want to lose that.
Yeah, and then every time it sends a reading, it has a new timestamp and a new set of readings.
Yep.
And so if you wanted to animate that data, in most applications, you would have to loop through all that data and go through and say, these are the values to show now.
Yeah.
All right, now the values change, here's another set.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you're doing those two loops over and over again, because you do business logic and rendering, for every animation frame, which is really slow. So with data-driven styling, mm-hmm. we can speed things up. So let's take a look at this example here. So this one here, what we have here is every single U.S. county. So it's hard to see at the moment. Let me zoom in here so we can kind of see, because everything's colored the same. But each county has a whole bunch of data, and the and it's basically the change in population per year. For over a 10-year period.
Okay.
And so we can see as I hover over what the values are.
Okay.
So our temporal parameter here is year. So we're going to animate over year. And based on these values, we're going to assign it a color based on this color scale that we see.
Okay.
Here. And so,
how the population has evolved in time.
Yeah, so let's zoom out here. And so we can see the data is animating quite smoothly. Yeah. I could actually make it go a lot faster, but then you wouldn't have time to make any to see the changes happen. So this is over 5,000 polygons, close to 1 million coordinates being rendered on the map, and we can see how smoothly that it's rendering and updating.
And you don't even have like a super mega powerful machine. Everything happens here.
Right.
It's a beefy machine, but it's not like a big huge.
And I'm not even plugged in, so I'm running purely on battery at this point as well. So my GPU doesn't have all its benefits.
Yeah.
So let's take a quick look at what I did here for the source code. So we're not going to go into the whole depth, because it's a really long code sample.
Yeah.
But we're going to take a look at this.
You just told everyone it was like not a lot of lines of code, right?
The big thing was I had two different data sets. I started off with a boundary data set and another data set of population data, and I merged them.
Yeah. So that took much less than what you would have if you had to do everything, two times, different types of code.
So what I'm doing here is, rather than going through and just doing my style inline, mm-hmm. is I'm going through and saying, for each animation frame, mm-hmm. I'm going to have a completely different expression I want to apply.
Okay.
And that expression is going to be like this. So I'm creating an array of expressions so I can just loop through. So based on index of the frame, I can just grab it from an array. And so I'm doing another linear interpolation based on the population value. So there's in the data set, there's a pop change one, pop change two value or, or column or property. And so I'm grabbing that value. And then I have a minimum and maximum scale value. And so if it's if it's within these ranges, I'm creating another gradient based on RGBA or RGB colors. But basically, I'm going through and defining my style. So they're all using the exact same linear expression here for the colors, but the main difference being that I'm changing the column,
the property in the data set, right?
Right. Okay. So rather than pop change one, I'm using pop change two, and so it's just simply saying, okay, do the exact same business logic, but on a different property in the same data set. And so now it just has to go through and say, oh, I don't even need to re-render the data. I just need to update the color of it. So I don't need to do any calculations on the coordinates and figure all that transformation. And so now we go down to our polygon layer. I go fill color. I pass in the very first one. And then on my animation frame, which is somewhere in this code, which I'm not going to dig into, but basically on each one, I just grab the whatever filter or expression I need for that frame.
Well, pretty straightforward. So people just have to populate their maps with nice colors and styling based on data coming from IoT devices or other, actually, right?
Right, and then you get beautiful styling and great performance.
Cool. So we're going to add some links for people to access these samples. Thanks, Ricky, for coming on the show.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks, people, for watching this episode, and see you soon, guys.